We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
So I'm a bit of a space nerd. I find it fascinating, these private companies that are pouring billions into getting us into space, exploring the planets. What comes next, right? Modern day explorers. Representative Adam Schiff, though, a congressman in California, tweeted out, "Listen, I'm all for space exploration, and it must have been an amazing view." Talking about Jeff Bezos yesterday, going to the edge of space, an 11-minute flight with three others. Adam Schiff says, "Look, maybe I'm just spitballing here. If Amazon and other companies paid their fair share in taxes, we could lift all kids, if not into space, at least out of poverty. Sincerely, Earthlings." I'm not a Luddite, and I understand we have so many needs here on planet Earth, but I wanted to get some perspective, and we reached out to Professor Christopher Michelson, a professor of principled leadership at the University of St. Thomas. Professor Michelson joining me right now. Good to have you with us. Thank you.
Paul, thank you very much for having me.
What was your, absolutely, it's great to have you here, and I need some perspective, and I think many of our listeners may need some perspective. This moment in time, historically, I think cries out for some perspective when it comes to the space race. What was your reaction watching Jeff Bezos go into space?
Well, first of all, I have to say, I love how you described yourself as a space nerd. I've known you over the years as a weather nerd, and it makes perfect sense that you're also a space nerd. I'll say for my part, I'm a philosophy nerd. So my specialty is ethics. I'm not a science nerd. I'm in awe of this, but I can't say I totally understand the technicality behind it, the cost behind it, the technological implications. I do understand the sentiment that you read by Representative Schiff about money being misappropriated in some way, but I don't necessarily think that we have to look at it as, well, if they're not paying their fair share of taxes, they must be spending this money poorly going into space. I do think that a company can pay its fair share of taxes and fund. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Right. Professor, we can send men to the moon and hopefully someday soon women. We still can't get a clean cell signal. So if you can hold still, maybe stand next to a window. It's so bizarre to have to say this. Here, it's 2021. Can you hear me now? No, I can't hear you now. But I appreciate you being here. And I think the question comes up, what are the lessons from Apollo, from the mission to the moon? Did some of those innovations and new technologies trickle down to the point where everybody has something to show from Apollo, other than Tang? I'm not sure you remember Tang. I remember Tang, sadly. But can you make a straight-faced argument that, yes, previous missions to the moon and adventures in space do, in fact, pay a dividend to every American? Can we make that case?
Well, first of all, I'm standing on my tiptoes by a window, so I hope this is better.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm old enough to remember Tang. I'm not old enough to remember the walk on the moon, but I have studied a little bit of history, and my understanding is that, you know, there were positives and negatives that came out of that space race from that era. I think, mm-hmm. you know, among the negatives was that part of this technological boom of the age probably contributed to nuclear proliferation. There's, you know, related technologies with regard to nuclear weapons and rockets. So that's not good. It also led to this related competition between, you know, then the Soviet Union and the United States. And for the most part, I think those of us who lived through the Cold War don't think fondly upon that competition, nor about how it's playing out today. But I think what's really interesting about this current space race is that it's also kind of a product of competition. And, you know, defenders of the free market will say, well, competition breeds innovation. And I think there's probably some truth to that. I think that there's a sense in which there are three billionaires beating their chests for macho supremacy. And that chest beating is actually also leading to advances in technology, expensive advances in technology. And, you know, we don't know yet exactly what the benefits of these advances will be.
Right. And in many cases, this is happening in parallel with what NASA is doing. In many cases, you know, NASA increasingly seems to be relying on these private companies, especially SpaceX, Elon Musk's venture, to help accelerate and maybe get to the moon, get to Mars more cost efficiently, hopefully as safely as possible. As well. I think one of the things, I don't remember Sputnik. I remember my father telling me about Sputnik and the fear of God that that put into Americans, that, oh my goodness, the Russians got there first. This thing is flying above our nation. We have no idea if it's going to be a weaponized, if it could drop a bomb on the United States. I think one of the concerns is that, you know, will this accelerate the militarization of space? And can you talk a little bit about that in terms of perspective going into space, probably the next frontier when it comes to the next inevitable war?
Yeah, I think that's a frightening prospect indeed. And in fact, I think a lot of technology in general can be used for good purposes or for nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. And we have to hope in this case that they're being used for good purposes and that there's regulation that controls the potential that it could be used for nefarious purposes. You know, you talked about how the private sector and the public sector are increasingly working together. And I tend to be optimistic. I think that the idea of business and government working together often should be a good thing. I mean, think, you know, I heard your segment on vaccines. That was, in many cases, a public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to be optimistic in this case as well, but I do think that cautiousness is warranted.
Absolutely. Professor Christopher Michelson, again, professor of principled leadership. I wish all leadership was principled. It sounds like a fascinating area of study at the University of St. Thomas. We appreciate you coming on today. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Paul. And I would just say principled leadership is a good thing when we have the right principles.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.